Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up? Welcome back to Comic Book Nation, the only show that does it all for geek culture and the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and today I'm very happy to be back once again talking about Invincible Season 2. With me today in CB Studios is our assistant managing editor of Comic Book, Joseph J.K. Schmidt, is with us. And we had the pleasure of getting to see Invincible Season 2, Episode 5, and recap it here for you guys on Comic Book Nation. If you are just now getting in the show, make sure you subscribe to Comic Book Nation on all of our podcast platforms, because we cover all things geek culture, including anime and our anime initiative segment, which will be pretty adjacent to this Invincible talk. Our quick save gaming segment. If you are an MCU head, head over to the Phase Zero feed for Marvel's latest news. And if you're a Pokemon fan, go to A Wild Pokemon Has Appeared to get caught up with all things in the Pokemon universe. Now, we are back here to talk about Invincible, as I said. And this is a big deal because they chose Robert Kirkman, the show's team, you know, Amazon Prime Video, decided to make this rare move for Prime Video releases of pulling the Netflix and splitting it up into a part one and a part two. So last fall, and about mid-fall, we got 4 episodes for season 2 part one, and now we are returning for the second batch of episodes with season 2 part two. And episode 5 was titled "This Must Come as a Shock," and needless to say, there's a lot of heavy lifting this episode has to do right off the bat, because it has been a span of months since we left off with this show. It just takes one Twitter search to let you know that a lot of fans weren't necessarily happy to have us be making this kind of delayed jump from, you know, part one to part two. And so getting people back in the boat for this show is something that Invincible needs to do right about now. It's kind of a weird unforced error, but here we are. And
but also the episode title really tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah. Well, I was going to build up to that, but yeah, so there's a lot of challenge facing this one, but it's called "This Must Come as a Shock," and that title certainly does live up to itself, right? So just for the quick kind of, you know, contextual recap, in case there's a random person listening to this without watching it, Mark was left on planet Thraxa after helping his dad, Nolan, battle some Viltrumite warriors in this part one, season 2, part one finale that was pretty epic. It was a brutal battle. Mark was left behind, bloodied and battered, and told by a Viltrumite general that he's now got to go back to Earth and take over for his father.
He has a new family.
Yep, and his Nolan had a new family, a new Thraxan wife. Mark has a new little half-brother. And this episode picks up right where that ends. So it picks up with Mark still bloodied and battered on Thraxa. But just to kind of move us through, he stays there for about 2 months. He's healing up. He's helping to rebuild. You know, he's told he's got to go back to Earth, but he's already kind of hesitant to go back for obvious emotional reasons.
He has a lot of guilt and from the actions of his father.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he lives in the shadow of his father the entire series. And by the end of season one, we realize that his father is not a good guy that he purports himself to be. And so this whole season is him dealing with those repercussions. And now he's really he's witnessed firsthand what his father's actions have wrought, because he's seen that. He's been in that situation that this planet is going through. So now he's taken the time to help rebuild in those situations where he feels guilty for.
I think, and what I love about Invincible is I think it's even more layered than that. It's like, excuse me, Mark feels guilty, about what his dad has done, but also his participation in it. He has this kind of self-hate as a Viltrumite or half-Viltrumite, that wherever they go, this is what they kind of leave behind. But there's also something in this that's his fear about going back to Earth and having to kind of acknowledge the reality of what's happened and what pressure he's now under.
Mm-hmm. Living up to the name, Invincible.
Yeah, and to, you know, he's got to go back and report on Earth and prepare it for invasion is in the back of his mind. So, yeah, there's a lot going on with the character. And what I like about this episode is it takes time to actually take us through the beats of what he's going through.
Yeah.
And the complexity of what him and Debbie and everybody are feeling after Mark has to reinsert himself into his life. So we get that drama, but there's still plenty of pretty epic action, which we'll get to in a minute. But in many ways, this episode feels like it's also for us, the audience, because there is just so... It's almost like a soft reboot of Mark having to come back and re-enter his own life in these different circumstances. Like, I love the scenes of him and Debbie. And when I rewatched it, I noticed, like, so Debbie gets his gift of a wine, but she's trying to stop drinking because in the first half, she was, of course, kind of going full Tony Stark on us.
Mm-hmm.
She pulled it together. She gets this wine in the beginning from the guy who's obviously thirsting for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, nah, I'm not going to drink that, until Mark shows up with the baby and he has to tell her the whole story. And the next scene it cuts to is her just like, holding the glass.
Pop it open. Wine. Let's just pour a tall one.
And so, like, yeah. And what I love about the show is the character dynamics you think could be so stereotypical never are. So Debbie steps up and makes this choice to, like, care for this baby when you think, you know, she could be like, man, get that purple little ninja out of my house. Like,
but she does, like you said, she steps up, and Mark steps up in a big way, because Mark is also saying, you know, he's missed school being in space trying to defend this planet and reconstruct this planet after, you know, his dad's, the repercussions of his dad's actions. And he has missed 2 months of college. And so it's really funny to, like, pair this universal conflict that is going on with the fact that he missed 2 months and now has to go meet the dean to face a punishment. And, like, just putting such a personal problem juxtaposed against international or intergalactic warfare is just such a fine Invincible type touch that, you know, like, they handle so well. And, you know, like, you started talking about at the beginning about how doing 4-episode split, and now that they're coming back, the result is a little bit disjointed, and, you know, maybe fans aren't as excited for it as it should have been. But, like, and this was the episode that really has to draw them back into it. And I felt like the first 4 episodes did a really good job of setting things up, but they were all kind of disjointed plots that were pushing something along. And now we're finally starting to see those threads weaving together in a massive way in this one. So the episode's title, what was it again?
This Must Come as a Shock.
This Must Come as a Shock. It definitely does, considering the way that it weaves everything together with not just character moments where we get to see Adam Eve kind of get over her self-doubt and finally enter the fray again. We get to see Mark come home and deal with the ramifications of his father and living up to, you know, the name of Invincible. We get to see the team coming together, the Guardians of the Globe finally like gelling in a way we haven't really seen before, you know, since Omni-Man left them. And just all of this coalescing into this very climactic, like, double-sided battle that we get between... I mean, you can go over all that stuff because it really explodes in how everything finally comes together.
Yeah. So this is your final. I mean, this is a recap show, so yes. You should know it's spoiler heavy. But we just are going in case into there's it. Anybody left who doesn't fully understand, we're about to talk spoilers about Invincible Season 2, Episode 5. We're about to talk like real spoilers. So, yeah, as you're alluding to, you know, we had this crazy, I forget what they call them in the show. I always want to call them Serpent Society from Marvel, but...
They are basically...
Yeah, they're basically Serpent Society from Marvel or Invincible spit on them.
C-list, D-list probably, yeah. Not even C.
Yeah, like this very D-list villain organization all based on snakes. And so that's one battle that the Guardians have to split because we finally have this payoff from Season 1 of the Sequids coming back.
From Mars, yeah, the whole Mars, Martian invasion.
Yeah, the parasites. And that comes in out of nowhere. You're just like sitting dealing with all this episode and it's like, oh, nope, the Sequids are here. And like, that's going down. And so half the team has to go. But of course, all of our Guardians can't go because some of them could be possessed. They can only send the ones that can withstand the kind of alien.
They're parasite. Basically like Starro.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Starro comes across and for some reason the Martians were impervious to their control, but then all of a sudden they leave a stray human on Mars and someone gets out, which is also leads to Ben Schwartz's amazing character and his delivery of character, who's just the most inept person. He's a shapeshifter pretending to be a human and trying to be a hero, and he is like, it's his fault. It's like he forgot to lock the back door in his house when he left, and all of a sudden that leads to an alien invasion where everyone's gonna like gonna
well there's
die.
Just I mean, and that's the kind of thing that Invincible does. Is in the first part we saw this kind of subplot with this alien kind of coming back pretending to be one of the astronauts trying to settle in on Earth and hold down his apartment and not get evicted, and you watch this and you're like, what is this all about? Because it's in this show that's so dense with so many other things, and then you get this, which is again a payoff where it's like, okay, that leads to something. Like watching this goofy guy on Earth, you forget like he's also caused this massive thing that's going to come back to haunt us. But it was great to see Shapesmith finally, like, this whole thing that you think, again, Invincible does such a good job of playing with superhero tropes. So being like, oh, I'm going to make you this big reveal. I'm actually, and they're like, dude, we know your emotion. Like, stop. Like,
we've known this since day one.
Which is good, because if Cecil and them didn't know, like, you'd be like, who are these people and how are they defending Earth? But they're like, no, dude, we obviously knew you're a Martian.
Especially for how they present Cecil as being this all-knowing, end-all, be-all person who, you know, he knows Mark is home even before Mark knows that he's home at that point, you know? He is presented as a very formidable, knowledgeable person about everything that's going on, which, you know, is the type of person that should be running this crazy superhero team that is sent to go on these suicide missions, which we're seeing more and more often are deadlier than the ones that they previously go on. The stakes continue to escalate in ways that you don't really anticipate. But also the interpersonal stories, like the little slice of life things that happen that take place that set these up, really are the types of moments that set Invincible apart. And I know this isn't like a one-to-one comparison, but that's the type of stuff that Rick and Morty does very well.
Yeah.
You know, like these interpersonal relationships that the characters have and the smaller moments, the quieter moments that they show that build within the bigger plot points that they have. It's just so skillfully done in a way that you don't really get to see in a lot of superhero media, much less... well done, like big budget with A-list stars. Like the fact that they have this cast and the way that they write this show and plot it out, it is very impressive.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's just get to the real meat and potatoes to finish this out, because everybody's going to, you know, we can sit here and talk about the character drama. I wrote a whole review of Invincible Season 2 Part 2 on comicbook.com, /TV, and kind of gave it a 3.5 out of 5 by saying, like, yeah, I think that the mature thing this season does as a whole, without getting too far ahead, is it really does anchor the characters, their complexity, the complexity of this universe, and fleshes it out in a big way that feels very meaningful and well done by the end. But that's the part that people are always going to still have internet backlash. Twitter, you're not subtle enough on Twitter to be kind of getting all these character beats and appreciate the density of this. You're like, it's animation, I want to see some fight. And so this episode is still custom built for Twitter by giving us, like you said, a two-part battle that we don't even conclude by the end, that features some pretty gnarly stuff. We see the Guardian of the Globe once again get murdered, which is becoming a tradition in this show. If you don't remember that experience of the Invincible, you know, the premiere episode, the ending that shocked us when Omni-Man just wrecks the Guardians of the Globe and everybody started to pick up and notice this show, well, if you were sleeping on it before, they murdered some people you probably liked and left you kind of sitting there like, what just happened? Because yeah, we don't much. Just murder them, but we see the Guardians get their behinds kicked in a pretty serious way. Like, yeah, duplicate getting horribly, and it's pretty brutal because it's like a Rube Goldberg machine of death.
Like, and they really like set it up that you think she's gonna survive because they really do a good job in the animation of showing you, because duplicate, you know, anytime she duplicates, you see the number on her chest get bigger, and number one is the prime one, and she's constantly sending out clones, and she's able to withstand her clones getting killed, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, she's not going to get out of that one, and she doesn't.
Well, she does. Like, one pops up, and he just grabs her and smashes them both together, and you're like, oh, shit. And like, and then the characters are also like, wait, is that really dead? And then they're like, oh god, she's like real dead.
Yes. And then also shout out Jason Mantzoukas, who I feel is becoming like one of the great celebrity voice actors.
Oh, yeah, he is. Like, I mean, you see people just out here nominating him for all kinds of stuff these days, like Fantastic Four and stuff like that, which is a little crazy in my book. But, like, no, he is, from just doing one shtick for so long to kind of now being able to bring kind of subtlety and even, like, personality to somebody like Rex, who starts out as such a shtick-heavy character and unlikable, and to seeing him in, like, real peril in this episode is, it's a testament to, like, Jason Mantzoukas being able to do kind of really good stuff. And just this whole voice cast, which is made up of either very recognizable voice actors like J.K. Simmons and Jason Mantzoukas, or kind of really experienced ones like Ross Marquard, who's like, I was just writing the recap up and was just like, yeah, there's a scene of Ross Marquard talking to himself as Rudy and the Immortal. That's both him just kind of doing that voice and having that whole conversation about Monster Girl and stuff. So yeah, this cast is really killing it and doing like a good job and has really kind of settled into these characters in a big way. And so
Jay Farrow, you know, he's always been a great celebrity impressionist, you know, and, you know, Saturday Night Live, but he's really kind of making it, which makes perfect sense that would translates well to voice acting. And he wasn't featured as much in this episode, but he's owning it. Ben Schwartz, of course, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog himself. Like, I think that casting these people to their types has been one of the key things about getting this celebrity cast in the way that they have them. But also, then they throw in the guy we were talking about before the show started recording, a recognizable voice if you are a fan of Harley Quinn on Max. The person who plays Bane, pretty certain he's like the old preacher.
Yeah, he's the elderly. There's
doing the exact same voice. If you like Bane.
Yeah, for just one scene. He's just an elderly Thraxton coming to tell Mark some information about,
yes,
oh, your spaceship's ready, but it's clearly the Bane guy.
Yes, yeah, it is Tom Hardy Bane. So it is the funniest impression as, like, as far as a voice actor goes. And the fact that they brought that over and just basically said, no notes, just do what you do. But now you're an alien insectoid person, invincible, just...
Well, I mean, this is a stacked cast. Perfect. You got, like, Clancy Brown and Mark Hamill, who play bit characters in this, who were, like, two of the most famous voice actors out there today. I mean, they're just doing, you know, bit characters. And you got people who are, like, you know, potential Oscar winners, like Sterling K. Brown, who still has not shown up as Angstrom Levy yet again. We are still waiting on Angstrom Levy.
It's going to be a slow burn. But who's Optimus Prime in the Transformers movie? He's the Viltrumite.
The Viltrumite guy, yeah, who, of course, in our post-credit scene, we should hardly get to that. Yeah, we have Optimus Prime, Peter Cullen coming in to, once again, it's just Peter Cullen and Seth Rogen in the scene. So, you know, this is what this show is playing with behind the animation.
The fact that you have Seth Rogen as just, like, you know his voice the second you hear it, and it's always going to be Seth Rogen. You're going to get that image in your head. There's Peter Cullen, known for being Optimus Prime, and they're juxtaposed against each other doing this one scene is just, that's fun. It's very fun superhero TV show.
And that's the thing, like, Invincible's so good on these levels because we're talking about just kind of like the basic plot points, but as we've indicated, like, this show does work on so many meta levels to kind of either play with animation, play with comic book tropes, or both, and kind of have a great bit of fun. And yeah, we got in the midst of all this stuff, we got a hopeful post-credit scene. It's unusual for Invincible to leave us with a hopeful kind of ending, but Alan's back.
And Alan the Alien is back.
Yeah, after seeing the brutal kind of what we thought for sure was his death, like, Alan's back, and so we're
cooking.
He even
comments on seeing his eye getting punched out of his skull and seeing it. Like, it was just such a Seth Rogen thing to do, you know, just, that was ridiculous. How am I still alive? And it was just a very funny way to just bring it all full circle as well.
And so, yeah, Alan's back and not just a throwaway character all of a sudden. There's, and like you said, all this stuff, you know, whatever, I forget the name of the Galactic Council, but all of that starts to feel like it's coming into light in a major way. So,
And one of the cool things that I noticed in this episode, that, I mean, I know it's been pretty obvious, is the previous, the title sequence is always, it shows you the word Invincible over, previously it was blue and yellow, and the screen would continually, like, get impacted where it would, like, crack like glass, and behind it you would see a different version of the title treatment, and it turned black and red. And then it got black and red, and now that is breaking away, because it's just kind of a metaphor where I feel like it's building toward Invincible living up to his name and realizing like, oh, I am this superhero that needs to defend not just Earth, but the galaxy against this crazy threat. And I have to understand that and live up to my name. And like slowly we're chipping away at that self-doubt and the barrier that is preventing him from living up to his full potential. And by the end of season three, when that title, screen cracks, it's going to be glorious.
Oh yeah. And if you remember your season one, not to get again too far ahead, but it was a blood splatter in season one that led up to a season finale that really made you understand why that title ended up there. And yeah, I can say safely that by the time we get to episode 8, that title is going, or that sequence in the title sequence is going to work on many, many, many different levels. So I would say just from this early point, we're back in. I'm back in. This episode definitely made me sit for up, sure. And by the time the credits rolled, I was like, holy yes, I forgot Invincible is like this. But I was back in. And so just to give you a little preview from my review, because this is no spoiler, this is a very action-packed episode. The next ones are still balanced, but a little bit more of that kind of chess move pieces that we saw in the middle of the first part of this season. And then you get to a very, again, action-packed finale. So it's pretty much an echo of what part one was in terms of pacing. Like, it's pretty much the same. But by the end, there are some big surprises, that you don't see coming. And where we leave these characters is set up for a very exciting season three. So get back with Invincible. That's my recommendation. This is one of the best kind of series out right now, animated or otherwise. So be sure to check that out. And it's a wonderful, if you're thinking superhero fatigue is a thing, this is a wonderful alternative to anything you think you're fatigued from in more traditional superhero stories. JK, anything before we get out of here?
No, like I said, I think that we're off to a good start. I think that it lived up to its title as far as the episode goes. And, it's one of those things that reminds you, it's a punch to the gut. We are so back. We are back. Mark Grayson is back. Invincible's back. And I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, me too. So strap in. We'll be here every week doing recaps of the final four episodes, now three episodes, of Invincible Season 2. So be sure to subscribe to Comic Book Nation on all your podcast feeds and subscribe to the comicbook.com YouTube page, where you can find this and so many other videos, as well as the Comic Book Nation. We have our own YouTube page as well. Subscribe to both of them. All right, we will see you guys out there. Enjoy Invincible. Hit us up with your feedback. And for any further information, be sure to go to comicbook.com/TV, where we will be covering this all throughout the kind of premiere rollout. See you guys out there. This is Comic Book Nation. Peace.
Take care.